So throughout this year, we're talking about what the Bible really says. And if you have your worship guide, we're on page 34. Lots of things to take notes on today. So calling your attention to that. So we begin the second half today of words to think about. And this past month, we talked about things like greed and idolatry and power and things like that. And now we make a switch, and we're going to talk about faith today. What is this thing called faith? If you have time, you can count up in the bulletin today how many times the word faith appears. But what is this thing called faith? How do we get it? How do we grow strong in it? What happens when we feel like we don't have any? What do we do? So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to start with a passage from the book of Ephesians that says something about faith, and then a little passage in the book of Hebrews that also introduces us to what the writer of Hebrews is saying about faith. And then I'm going to say more about the passage in Hebrews. We begin with this passage from Ephesians.
As Pastor Sharon said, I'm reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, found in your pew Bibles, page 192 of the New Testament. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift from God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our second scripture reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, a verse that many of us are probably familiar with. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Living God, keep us awake in faith. Amen. So, you may not realize this, but our lives are full of faith. When I step out of bed in the morning, I have faith that the floor is going to be there. When I open the blinds in the back, I have faith that the sun has risen once again. When I turn on the water faucet, I have faith that something is going to come out. It's a little warmer than usual this year, this time of year, but I have faith that water is going to come out. When we get in our cars and turn the ignition, we have faith the car is going to start, at least most of the time, and that it's going to go when we step on the gas. If we think a little bit deeper, we think about some other ways related to faith. When I wrote a little bit about this in the weekly message that went out on Friday, I received a little email back from Paul and Carla Betcher, and I've talked with him about sharing this little piece with you. They said that when they read the weekly message about faith, they thought about their daughter, their oldest daughter, Faith, who has serious special needs. And they said, visiting Faith increases our faith because we see the amazing things that people do to care for her and other people like her. Their faith is increased by the caring work of people who care for their faith. If we think a little deeper like that, we also remember that we have faith in the principles of our government. Now, we may not have faith in any given set of leaders, but we have faith in the grounding principles of democracy, don't we? We have faith in these principles because we have seen, we have heard about, and we have seen them work through history. We have experienced the principles of democracy and celebrate them. Freedom, equality, opportunity. We celebrated all those on this July 4th once again this year, even with the shortened fireworks in Marana. We also have faith in our church, if we think a little bit more deeply. We have faith in our church that it has been there for us over time, and we have faith in its grounding principles of grace and love. Even if we might not agree on everything currently, we have faith in the grounding in love and grace because we have seen and experienced these through our church. We have faith in our church, in St. Mark's, as part of the United Methodist Church. All these things I've been talking about, we can see and touch. They are right before our eyes. They are tangible and real. We have faith in all these things, the floor, the sun, our grounding principles, and so much more, because they're right in front of our eyes. We have experience to confirm our faith in them, and there is not a lot of uncertainty. What the Bible really says challenges us to another kind of faith, a deeper level, to a faith that we can't see in the same way. And I was thinking that it's really a little bit like this plant right here. We see leaves, and not too long ago, within the last few weeks, there were actually lots of pink blossoms all over this plant. And if we look a little deeper, we see good soil. That's what nurtures the plant, right? But what really feeds it is unseen, strong roots, a grounding that makes everything in life possible. Without the roots to the plant, even though it might have beautiful flowers for a bit, it's not going to last very long, is it? It's the unseen roots that really make a difference. We trust that the roots are there, even though most of the time we can't see them unless we take the plant out. Faith in God is like that. It's roots that we trust, that we rely on, that we depend on. You see, faith is essentially an act of trust, a reliance and a dependence on God. Faith is an act of trust or reliance even when we can't see it or even when the outcome is uncertain. And you know what? Initially, and then again and again, faith is something that we choose. You think about that for a minute. God seeks us all the time. And then there is a moment when we realize that and we say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you to do what you say you're going to do. And the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us this story of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Think about roots as I share a bit of Hebrews 11 with you. In the Message, Hebrews 11 says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. Faith is what shows us what led us to this day, our roots in our ancestors in faith. By faith, we see the world called into existence, the writer of Hebrews says. Called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. And then the writer goes on to talk about all through biblical history, the acts of faith by people. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised to him. By faith, Abraham's wife Sarah, who was called barren, was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time. Each one of these people, says the writer, died yet not having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? Here's a great line. They saw it way off in the distance, and they waved their greeting, accepting the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for their old country, they could have gone back any time they wanted, but they were after a far better country than that, a home with God. And then he talks about, by faith, Moses refused privileges that were given to him and chooses a hard life with God's people rather than a different kind of life. By an act of faith, every one of these people were exemplary, says the writer of Hebrews, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. We stand in the line of the faithful. I think about the faithful in the New Testament. What about Jesus' mother Mary? When the angel comes to her and says, I got this thing for you to do. She says, okay. How about Jesus' disciples? When he comes to them and he says to them, by the water, follow me, they get up and they follow him. How about the Apostle Paul, who was doing things one way until God came to him and said, you know, Paul, you have been really mixed up. I need you to go in a different direction. And so he does. I think about Lydia in Acts chapter 16, who heard about Jesus, goes to a river, meets the Apostle Paul and says, could you baptize me? You see, faith is saying okay to God, to trusting that God exists and is among us working. We say okay knowing that we don't know everything about God or what God's up to, and we say yes anyway. We say okay to faith to God, even though we might not see the outcome, the results, the finish line. We say, okay, God, I think you're up to something good, and I want to be part of that. Roots. I want to be part of the roots in good soil. We say okay to God because in some ways we have seen God at work in the flowering of the plant, but so much more. We have seen God at work in countless ways in the life of a child. Every time our little grandson comes over, he's almost three now, every time he comes over and he comes running in and he says, Nana, and he hops in my arms, I think, oh my God, what have you done, God, in this child? We have faith, we say okay to God because we have seen what God can do. You have heard me tell the story, some of you, about my butterflies, caterpillars into butterflies, and lo and behold, a couple of days ago, I discover I have more caterpillars on our milkweed plant. There is God once again, ready to do God's thing, bringing us through, staying with us in the hard times. When we say, okay, God's grace, God's love that we don't deserve is poured out upon us. By grace we are saved by faith, not of our own doing or because of works, just an outpouring of God's love when we say okay to God. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you with this, with my life. Root my life in you, even though the outcome is uncertain. I can't see or touch you, God, at least not in the same way I can touch a flower or a plant or a floor, even though I have my doubts about you, God, sometimes, and your messed up world. Lots of doubts. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to have faith in you. Here's what the Bible really says about faith. Faith is trusting in God's goodness. We decide to do that trusting. Faith is knowing we will not have the final word. We won't know everything. All will not be clear or finished. Even so, we seek to grow in faith. We enter into a life of growing in faith. We look for where God is working and we say, I want to know more. We bring all our doubts and fears and we say, teach me more, O God. You know how you do that? You know how you grow in faith? You spend time with God. Like we do with those we want to know better. What would have happened, those of you who are in relationships with a partner or a spouse or a friend or a brother or sister? What would happen to your relationship if you never spent any time with them? If you never made contact with them or listened to them or did things with them or heard about their hurts and their fears? When we want to know God, we need to spend time with God. In the Bible, in classes, in prayer, in Holy Communion, in worship. And yes, we say okay to God by coming to this table today. We say, my faith looks up to you, O God. We grow in our trust that God is doing a good thing. And because of that, our faith leads us to act in Jesus' name in the world. We do things in Jesus' name. David Gibbs has said, convictions on the inside will always show up on the outside in a person's lifestyle. People see God through us, you know, and how we are in the world. Like we've seen others, like the writer of Hebrew tells us that we see God through Moses and all the others. People see God through us. Through the Bible, when we root ourselves in faith in God and Jesus Christ, we see people, we see God, and then people see us. When we have said yes to faith, people see God through us, through God's love, Jesus' love, and by saying yes to faith in God, by trusting in God's goodness. Trust, grow, and act. I gave you another little acronym there, TGA. Trust, grow, and act. I was thinking as I got ready for this today, that there have been times in my life when I've really wrestled with my faith. There have been a couple of particularly difficult times when it seemed like things were falling apart all around me. Maybe just in life in general, and when I was sick and unwell, and it seemed like things weren't going well in our family or in our extended family, and I began to doubt that God even existed. God, if you exist, why is it like this? Why is it like this? And there have been times in the midst of that when I felt inadequate or angry or thought that, you know, God, I really should just go and do this on my own. I don't really need you because, you know, it's such a mess. So you must not be here. But then I remember that I have been committed to continuing to learn and grow. I have been committed to saying yes to God, to watching God at work. And somehow, even in the midst of all that, probably because of all the ancestors who led me to this place in my life, somehow I've been able to say, in a little glimmer out of the roots, I've been able to say, well, God, show me something that you're doing. And all of a sudden I see something growing in me or in another person. And I discover that when I want to go away from God, that I only go away. But really, in order to grow deeper with God, you have to stay close to God, even if you don't feel it at the time. You need to stay close to God. You need to watch God at work. Believe in God's goodness. Trust that God is working. You need to look at the people around you and depend on them to pray for you when you're in a difficult time. And I think as I have been able to do that in those most difficult times, God doesn't stop seeking me. God keeps looking for me, and finally I say, okay, God, I see this little glimmer of something or other. I see this little root. I think I'll hang on. I think I'll try to go deeper with you rather than run away from you. I think, oh God, I'll come to your table of grace. I think I'll come and be fed so that I can be strengthened in everything that I do. We come to the table, we come to God as an act of faith that God is and will do something good in and around and through us. And when I remember that, I can breathe. And I can take the life of God onto me and in me. And God begins to make me more whole. So this day, once again, I say, okay, God. Amen.